Hello, podcast listeners. This is Pastor Bob, and I want to say a quick word to those of you who listen to our sermon podcast who are outside of the Corumdale Church community. I want to ask for your help with a significant project that our church is undertaking during this Christmas season. I know that you listen to our podcast because you appreciate good biblical teaching, you appreciate sound theology, you appreciate culturally engaged mission, and in light of all those things, I hope that you'll consider being a part of our campaign to raise $800,000 by the end of January. Here's the story. We're seeking to purchase a building that is currently the Countryside Community Church building at 87th and Pacific Streets here in Omaha. And we're in the midst of a massive fundraising push to raise the capital to make a winning bid on that property. We want to invite your help in that. Now, again, I feel like this is sort of like one of those public radio fund drives. There's no obligation for you to give. We love putting this podcast out for free, but we also know that those of you who listen feel some sense of connection to our church, and so we want to put the opportunity in front of you. If you want to know more about this building, about the opportunity that's before us, and about how you can give, you can go to our website at cdomaha.com, and you'll find on that front page a 7-minute video where I explain the campaign, explain the opportunity, show you pictures of the building, and talk about how you can give. And I'd love it if this Christmas season you'd consider being a part of that if you're outside of the Corumdale Church community. So thanks for giving that some consideration, and I'd ask you to pray with us, especially as we pursue this opportunity. This building comes on the market in February, and we'd really love to see the Lord make it our future home in the city of Omaha. So thank you. Enjoy this week's sermon podcast.
The Corumdale Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope this message spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. The word of God for the people of God.
Merry Christmas, you guys. It's great to be here with you. I mean, this is a good day to have church, right? I mean, this is kind of what it's all about, Christmas Day. So glad you're here, whether you're regularly part of our church or whether you're here with family, friends. We're really glad to have you today. We're going to look together briefly at the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And so if you have a Bible or an app, invite you to draw your attention, point your attention to that text as we sort of consider what the Word of God has to say to us this morning. There have been billions of babies born in the history of the world. There have been hundreds of millions of babies born in the United States of America. There have been dozens of babies born in our own church this past year. But there's only one baby in the history of the world who's known for being laid in a manger. Only one baby whose birth is associated with a manger, and that is the Christ child, the Lord Jesus, whose birth we celebrate today. And Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, draws our attention to this particular fact or feature of the story in his birth narrative, telling us about the birth of Christ. In Luke chapter 2, he mentions in verse 7 that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. And then in verse 12, the angel appears to the shepherds and says, "This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby lying in a manger." And then in verse 16, the text tells us the shepherds went and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Luke is zeroing in on this feature of the story. This baby was laid in a manger. And so here's the question: what's so significant about the manger? I mean, it's really not that significant a thing. A manger was an everyday sort of thing in the world of the ancient Near East. I brought along a photo of what it looked like. Sorry to disappoint your nativity scene. If you have one, it doesn't quite look like this, but this is what the average manger in ancient Near East in the first century looked like. It was usually probably made out of stone rather than wood. And you can see it, you know, it's bassinet sized, right? It's a pretty decent place to lay a baby if you have to make do for it. It will work for that purpose. The manger is so associated, in fact, with the birth of Jesus that if you think about it, even the word manger is hallowed by its association with the birth narrative of Jesus Christ. Right, like there are farmers all over the state of Nebraska this morning feeding their livestock. And as they do so, they're filling up some sort of a feeding trough. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a single one of them who would refer to that feeding trough as a manger. Why? Because the word manger has become so associated and so aligned with the Christmas story that it's almost like we reserve it for that use, even though it's an ordinary, everyday word that literally just means an eating trough. The word manger comes from the French verb manger, which means to eat. What is the significance of this baby born in a manger? The Bible gives us a significant clue in Luke chapter 2, verse 12. Look at it with me. Luke chapter 2, verse 12. The angel who appears to the shepherds says this: "And this will be a sign for you." A sign. "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." What is a sign? A sign points to something, right? A sign is an indicator or a pointer to reality. Perhaps some of you, as you came to this building this morning, did so on the interstate. And if you did, you likely took exit 448. And about a mile before that exit, there was a big green sign that said 84th Street with an arrow pointing to the off-ramp. That sign, as you know, is not 84th Street. That sign merely points you in the direction or toward the reality, which is 84th Street. It tells you, if you want to be on this street, get off here. A sign points us to a greater reality. And that's exactly what the baby in a manger is. The angel tells the shepherds, the fact that this baby will be found in a manger is a sign. It's pointing to something. It's saying something bigger. In other words, the fact that Jesus was laid in a manger is not just a random feature of the narrative, but rather it plays an important role in helping us understand the narrative. The baby in a manger is a sign that points to something. And so what is it signifying? What is this sign pointing to? Three things. Number one, the baby in a manger is a sign of welcome. A sign of welcome. God is signifying to us in this His welcome of humankind to come to Him. In Isaiah chapter 66, God says this through the prophet Isaiah, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me?" God is so high, so glorious, so majestic that the entire earth is His footstool. And yet this high, exalted, glorious God has come low. So low as to take up residence in a lowly cattle stall. And notice in the narrative that Luke writes for us, in the angel's announcements to the shepherd, we see the significance. Look, verse 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And he says, this is going to be a sign. The sign of the baby in a manger is connected to this good news that is for all the people. In other words, friends, anyone can get in on this. The baby in a manger is a sign that God is condescending to us. He's coming down low and He's throwing open wide the doors of His welcome and saying, hey, anyone can get in on this. This is for all people. This is a sign to you that I am not high and so removed that you can't relate to me or know me, but rather I, the exalted Creator God of the universe, am coming down low to be known, to be experienced, to be accessed by anyone who will come. If you want to know the meaning of Christmas, read the sign. The message of Christianity is not, how will you rise to God? The message of Christianity is, God has come low to welcome you. See, believe, rejoice. God is saying in this child in a manger, I'm available, I'm accessible. I've come to be known and to know. See, the message of Christianity is a message of wonderfully inclusive exclusivity, right? I mean, the angel says, hey, this child born here is the Savior who is Christ the Lord. So there's a sense in which there's an exclusivity here. We come to God through Jesus. He's the one who can save us. The angel is saying, you can't just get saved anyway. This child is the Savior. And yet this news, this message is for all the people. It's for everyone, everywhere. Anyone can get in on this. This is God's sign of welcome to all of us, letting us know that God is ready to be known and to receive us. The baby in a manger is a sign of welcome. Second, the baby in a manger is a sign of reversal. Sign of reversal. In other words, God is showing us in this event that how His kingdom works is the opposite of how the world's kingdoms work. Look with me at Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The angel says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Okay, so here we have three titles. The word Savior, this is the one who's come to save humanity from sin. The title Christ, this is an Old Testament word that means Messiah, that connects this child to all the hopes of all of God's people throughout all of history. And then the title Lord, Master, Ruler. This child who is born is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. In other words, this child's kind of a big deal. This isn't your average baby. This child comes to carry forward and to fulfill all the hopes of all of the people of God throughout all of history. And yet this Lord, this King, this high, holy one, comes in an upside down sort of way. The kingdom of this King works differently than the kingdoms that we're used to seeing and experiencing on earth. Jimmy and Carol Owens captured this dynamic in a Christmas song they wrote in the 1980s titled, How Should a King Come? Here's what they observe. Even a child knows the answer, of course. In a coach of gold with a pure white horse. In the beautiful city in the prime of the day. And the trumpets should cry and the crowds make way. And the flags fly high in the morning sun and the people all cheer for the sovereign one. Everyone knows that's the way that it's done. That's the way that a king should come. But see, that's not the way this King comes. That's not the way the Savior, Christ the Lord, comes. Rather, this King comes quietly in a manger. The announcement of this King's birth comes not to the privileged, not to the elite, not to the royal, but to some shepherds. The lower class, rough around the edges, agricultural workers of the first century. And notice the message the angel brings in Luke 2, verse 11. Shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This Savior is for the lowly. This Savior is for the humble. This King comes to lead those who know themselves to be in need of mercy and grace. This King does not come to consort with the powerful, the successful, the influential, the elite, the well-educated, but rather He comes for the humble, the lowly, the broken, those who know themselves to not deserve anything from God. That's who this King comes to associate with and be known by. See, the baby in a manger is a sign of reversal. God is telling us and showing us in this sign His kingdom works on a different calculus from the kingdoms of the world. In the kingdom of God, right, the first will be last and the last will be first. The proud will be brought low and the humble will be exalted. This is how the kingdom of God works. If you want to know the meaning of Christmas, read the sign. The kingdom of God is present and available to you. But you've got to look in the right place. This King does not come in the places and with the fanfare that we would expect kings to come. Rather, this King is found in the unexpected places. To know this King, to experience the grace and mercy of this King, you've got to come low. Because His kingdom is a reversal of the values of the kingdom of this world. So the baby in a manger is a sign of welcome, a sign of reversal. Finally, the baby in a manger is a sign of hiddenness. Hiddenness. In other words, the entry of the Son of God into the world is so simple and so ordinary, you just might miss it. If you were going to go visit a new baby, where would you go? In our city, you would go to the maternity ward. probably to Methodist Women's Hospital on 192nd and Dodge, which is where everybody goes now to have their children, and I sort of visit there at least once a month, if not more frequently. That's where you would go in our day and age if you want to find a baby. You go to the place where babies are born. In this day and age, you would have gone to the midwives. I mean, birth is not a new thing, right? This has been going on throughout the history of the world, and in every culture, in every city, there have always been places and people who specialize in helping babies come into the world. And in the city of Bethlehem, there would have been midwives and probably a practice of midwives that you would go to if you were looking for a new baby. You wouldn't go to the livestock pen, to the manger, to the stable. In fact, as Luke tells the story, notice what he tells us in verse 15. After the angel appears to these shepherds, it says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when you read this text in English, it seems like, oh, they went to Bethlehem and they found him. There he was. But see, the word found in the Greek language actually means to find by intentional searching. The New American Standard Bible translates it, they came and found their way to Mary and Joseph. In other words, it took some looking. It wasn't like they just showed up and knew exactly where to go. It took some looking because this child had come in a way, in a place that's sort of hidden. The baby in a manger is a sign of hiddenness. It's a sign that the way that God often works is that he hides himself in the ordinary. If you want to know the meaning of Christmas, read the sign. God hides himself in the ordinary. Do you see him? American Christians especially have this tendency, don't we, to look for God in the extraordinary. The more dramatic, the more significant, the more monumental something seems, the greater chance we feel that God is probably in it. And that's why it's easy for us to say, oh, there's something dramatic. If I woke up in the middle of the night, if an angel showed up in my bedroom like he did to Mary, well, that of course I would believe that. Because our way of thinking is the more extraordinary, the higher the probability that God is involved. But see, the sign of a baby in a manger controverts that logic, right? The sign of a baby in a manger says, actually, God often hides himself in the very ordinary. God is often present in the very mundane, everyday things. God is present here this morning in this ordinary gathering, this very ordinary worship service, this very ordinary group of people getting together to worship him. God is present this morning in these very ordinary elements of bread and wine. God comes and makes himself known to us in the ordinary, the everyday, the mundane, the real. The baby in a manger is a sign and a mark of hiddenness. A sign that God is not often known in the most extraordinary ways, but hides himself in the ordinary things. The fact that Jesus, after his birth, was laid in a manger is not a random and unimportant detail of the narrative, but rather the angel tells us it is a sign. It is packed and charged with meaning. There's something deeper and more real that God wants us to see and understand in paying attention to the fact that the baby Jesus was laid in a manger. A sign of welcome, a sign of reversal, a sign of hiddenness. See, friends, Jesus Christ came to welcome us to God. If we will come, Jesus came to extend to us God's welcome. Jesus is God saying to us, all who will come are welcome. Come to this Savior, this Christ, this Lord, and be brought in and be welcomed into the family of God. Jesus came to reverse the world's values, to show us that the way God works is the opposite of how we sometimes work. That God invites the lowly, the meek, the last, and the least to come to know Him. That God desires to be known by those people. That God's kingdom is not a kingdom that honors and values the powerful and the strong and the influential and only those who have something to offer, but rather God's kingdom is one that comes to those who know they have nothing to offer. Jesus came to reverse the world's values and invite us into that kingdom. And finally, the Lord Jesus came and comes to us hidden in the ordinary. Jesus makes Himself known in very ordinary ways and very ordinary things. In the ordinary words of an ordinary sermon, on the ordinary pages of your very ordinary Bible, in the ordinary rhythms of your very ordinary life, the Lord Jesus comes near and makes Himself known. Do you see Him? Are your eyes open? Do you see the sign of what the manger is saying to us about how the gospel itself works? Jesus comes to welcome us to God. Jesus comes reversing the world's values, and Jesus comes hidden in the ordinary things. And He invites us to come and worship, even as the shepherds did, to come and bow down before Him and humble ourselves and come low, to bow our knee, to come to this manger scene, if you will, and to worship at the feet of the one who comes in a way that none of us would have expected, and yet that all of us can see as glorious. Would you pray with me? Our God, we thank You for giving us signs. Thanks that You point us to things that matter deeply. Thank You that You invite us to look more deeply into things like the nativity set that perhaps sits on a dresser in our house or a shelf, even this morning. That in looking into that scene, You invite us to see what You are showing us through the baby who's laid in a manger. So thanks that You welcome us to come to You. Thanks that You have reversed and turned upside down the values of power and success. And thanks that You come hidden in the ordinary. And so on this, a very ordinary Christmas day where we will leave here and go home and do whatever we will do the rest of the day, in this very ordinary season, would You help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear the message that You are preaching loudly through the sending of Your Son into the world? Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to believe the message of the gospel, a message of grace, a message of a kingdom that has come and is coming through this King of Kings, this Savior, this Christ, this Lord who came low and was laid in a manger. Help us see this morning and believe, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.